Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." The gospel of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Adam Loudon. I haven't preached here before, so if you don't recognize me. Well, I haven't preached anywhere before, but that's going to change right now. So I've been going to Glenmar for 6 years now. I was confirmed here, and I've done some mission work here, so it's a pretty special place for me. And so, just to talk about the book a little bit, the first part of the book with Felix is his bucket getting emptier and emptier, and then he starts noticing buckets and stuff like that. And then we get to this part of the book, and so he's getting drops into his bucket, and his day is getting better and better, progressively better. And so this part of the book, it reminded me of something from my summer this summer. So over the past month, I was working in New York, actually. I was working on a resort. At this resort, we serve meals, we maintain the resort, interact with the guests, that kind of stuff. And we have maybe around a 20-person staff. And on that staff, there are two girls, and their names are Molly and Sarah. They're lifelong best friends, and they're from Northern Ireland. So now you're probably wondering, how do two girls from Northern Ireland end up at a resort in New York? And to give a background on the resort a little bit, this is not some New York City like fancy resort. This is a resort in the Adirondack Mountain Range. There's nothing around it for 15 miles. There's one road. You can go left or right, and left is one town and right is the other town. So how they ended up there, I'm not completely sure. It really beats me. But they are just two of the happiest people that I've ever met. They're just really, really a joy to be around. So they almost immediately came to my mind when I saw the part of the book where other people were putting drops into Felix's bucket. So there's me with each of them. But so I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, they really just brighten your day. I mean, with Sarah, one time I was doing towel refills in the cabins, and I walked up to the cabin and I called down to her what kind of towels I needed to replace in the cabin, and she responded to me, "Adam, you're my hero." I didn't do anything special. I'm definitely not her hero, but I still got that kind of response. And that's really a great example of just the kind of people they are. They build you up, and they make your day better. They're putting drops into your bucket. So I was thinking, and I was like, wow, is this a cultural thing? Do I want to move to Northern Ireland? Are they all this great? And so one night at dinner, I was talking with Molly, and I decided to ask her about that. And so I said, "Molly, Are all of your friends, you and Sarah's friends, are you all like this? Are you all so happy and fun-loving like this? And like, do you really build people up like this? And the response that Molly gave me, this was her actual response, and she said, Adam, I don't know about our friends, but Sarah and I are like this because we know and love Jesus. That's really powerful. That was just an incredible response to get from her. And then that got me thinking about my life. I smile a lot. A lot of times I'll get, Adam, why do you smile so much? I know my friend's mom has asked her daughter that before. She said, does Adam always just have that happy smile on his face all the time? And I mean, I think from now on, when I get a question like that, I want to give an answer that says something like, I smile so much because I know and love Jesus. That's just incredible. And so they made me think about the book like that. And then they made me start thinking about how they're filling Jesus buckets when they do all of the things that bring you up and build you up. Because they're not afraid to share their faith. They're not afraid to share that they know and love Jesus. And that's something that's really special and really powerful. But it also means that all of the little things they're doing, all of the little drops they're putting in people's buckets, it means that they're putting drops in Jesus' buckets, not just regular buckets. They're building people's faith because people see these wonderful Christian people that are sharing their faith and making everyone else's day better. So that's just something really special that I noticed. And how that connects with our scripture reading with the Samaritan woman. So when she's down at the well, obviously she just wants the water from the well, and Jesus asked her for the water from the well, but then he shares with her that there's this other water, the spiritual water, and that this water can grant eternal life. And obviously she says, wow, I want this water. And what that shows is that she's not satisfied with her regular bucket. She can draw from the well, and like Jesus says, she will be thirsty again. But the water that Jesus offers her is water that can fill her Jesus bucket, and that will bring her onto the right path, that'll bring her to know God, and that'll give her eternal life. So that's just something that's really special. And when you think about it, filling all these buckets, filling Jesus' buckets is what counts. Filling Jesus' buckets is what brings you to the right places, and you will never become thirsty again like that. So all of this talk about buckets makes me think about basketball. To quote one of my personal heroes here, LeBron James, you know, God gave me a gift to do other things besides play the game of basketball. So what LeBron is acknowledging here, first of all, is that basketball is a God-given gift for him. He's humbling himself. He's saying, God gave me this power to do this. And that's something that's really special because of just how talented of a player he is. He's, I didn't watch Jordan, but in my opinion, the best ever. And so he's not ashamed, he's not afraid to come forward and say, God gave me this gift. But he also says, God gave me other gifts too. And what I think that's showing is that LeBron, he wants to fill Jesus' buckets as well. That's something he wants to do. And when we see him go out now and do things like found the school he just founded in Akron for at-risk kids, we can say, wow, LeBron's doing God's work because we know he's Christian. We know he's not afraid to talk about God like this. So that's something that's really cool that I noticed. And so that got me thinking about my life. And I'm like, so how can I let people know? How can I go out and fill Jesus' buckets? And then, so I'm, as well as LeBron, I'm also an athlete. And I'm a soccer player. And I'm not that good, but I do my best. And I'm like, okay, how can I bring Jesus into soccer? How is that something I can do? And so that's something I've actually been able to do for a little while, because along with my friend Jackson Pittman, who attends Glenmar as well, and another one of our friends who attends another church, we founded the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my school. And so what that is it's just an opportunity for fellowship. It's an opportunity for us to come together with a bunch of different athletes from different sports and different backgrounds and different Christian backgrounds, and have once a week for 30 minutes to have fellowship at our school. So that's something really special. And now when I'm out on the soccer field, I feel that I've let people know, and I'm filling Jesus buckets now. Because when they see an example of sportsmanship, now they know that's something I talked about at FCA. And they know that it's something I'm doing because we all try to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. And that's just something I'm doing to try to fill Jesus buckets. So now, what I want all of you to do is think about an area in your lives, maybe something, hopefully something that you enjoy, and think about a way that you could bring Jesus into it, or let someone know that you want Jesus in this part of your life. And what I want you to do with that is I want you to stand up and I want you to tell someone around you that idea. So you can go ahead and do that now. And the idea behind this is that now if you tell someone, they'll see you next week here, and they'll be like, oh, did you bring Jesus into this part of your life? And you'll be held kind of accountable. So why don't you go ahead and do that? Okay. I see that was good, so I'm glad. No, I liked all the talking. It was great. So now we're going to look at a little bit more scripture, and we're going to think about the really important distinction between a Jesus bucket and a regular bucket. So we're going to read from Mark 4, verse 35 to 40, and it says, "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" So I'm sure all of you have heard this story before. It's a pretty common story, and it's used a lot in Sunday schools. And they say it's used a lot as an example for trusting God, because Jesus, he's all-powerful. God is all-powerful, and he's able to just calm the storm at a moment's notice. And so we could look at it that way, but I want to look at it another way. Not that the other way is wrong, of course. But so if we think about it here, I want to distinguish the difference between a regular bucket and a Jesus bucket. So if we think about it, if we think about the storm as not necessarily being a bad thing, but we think about the storm kind of as everyday life, then we have the storm water is the water coming into regular buckets. So the water is coming into your regular bucket, and so in this case, the regular bucket compares to their boat. And so for the disciples, they have water coming into their regular bucket. They're crossing the lake. Maybe it's something they enjoy, and the water's coming into their regular bucket. But at the end of the day, even with that water coming into your regular bucket, even feeling good with your regular bucket, it's not enough. And so that's where the distinction between a regular bucket comes in and a Jesus bucket. Because I could go and play soccer all the time and get drops in my regular bucket, but without God, you're really still going nowhere. And so the distinction is that when the disciples call on God, when they call on Jesus to come into their life, that's when they start to get drops in their Jesus bucket. And that's when the storm has been quieted. So that's just something really powerful that we can always focus on, because a drop in your regular bucket isn't always a step in the right direction. And it could be that storm that you don't know about. And you have to call on God for guidance and to take you in the right direction. So now I'm going to talk about when it's easy to distinguish between Jesus buckets and regular buckets. I'm going to use scripture again. This is John 14. And it says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So this passage is powerful because it comes from when Jesus is predicting his crucifixion, when he's predicting his own death. So what he's talking to a crowd here, and what he's really trying to get across is the things that are important. He's trying to share the things that are important. And so what he says here is he stresses the importance of service. And so service is a time for full buckets, like the slide says. It's a time for full Jesus buckets, because here at Glenmar, we do a lot of mission work. We do a lot of good things. I'm sure a lot of you have been a part of that. And our slogan for that is others good, our growth, and God's glory. So serving, it just puts planks into Jesus' buckets. That's what it does, because we're going out there, and in God's name, we're doing good in the world. So just to share a little bit of my experience from service, I've been on 4 mission trips before, all to Hurley, Virginia. So I'm sure that pales in comparison to a lot of you. But service for me has always just been a time for a full Jesus bucket. But what makes it special for me is that there's a very clear distinction between regular buckets and Jesus buckets, it seems, when you're serving. Because when you're serving, you could be getting up a lot earlier than you want to. That seems to happen a lot for me anyway. But and you could be laying there on your mattress and you could be like, wow, I just don't want to get out of bed today. But the Jesus bucket way, the right way to serve is to get out of bed that day, to get up that early, and to go do God's work in the world. And so that's what you do. And maybe you're outside doing work. The pictures I have here are my crew when we did a tin roof. And maybe you're up there and you're like, man, it's just so hot out. I don't want to be doing this anymore. But you're out there and you're doing God's work and you're putting drops into Jesus buckets. And at the end of the day, that just feels so incredible that you're fine with it. You put up with maybe not having a totally full regular bucket, a totally full bucket of comforts, but instead you take those drops in your Jesus bucket because that's what's important. So that's what I have to say today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the fellowship at Glenmar, and Lord, we thank you that we made it through this. Lord, we ask that hopefully some of this message sticks, Lord, and we just ask you that you will guide us and help us to make to distinguish between regular buckets and Jesus buckets. And Lord, we ask you that we will have full Jesus buckets and that we will come to know and love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.